puzzles, one of them jigsaw puzzles, you know. 24 piece. So he got to working on that puzzle, 24 piece puzzle, you know. Took him 2 weeks. I mean day and night, day and night. He finally got that puzzle all put together. So he calls up his buddy Thibodeau. He said, Thibodeau, come on over to the house now. I got some coffee and chicory. Got something to show you. So Thibodeau got over there. He said, what you got? He said, look at his puzzle. He said, man, 24 piece done took me 2 weeks to put it together. What you think of that? Thibodeau looked at him and said, man, you one of them smart people. I mean, look at this. 24 piece take you 2 weeks to put it together. You smart people, on the box it says 2 to 4 years. Oh, man, I done told you. So he went back to that Walmart, and he got him another box. But, man, he didn't get the thing together. He had that thing over and over and over and over. I mean, he took 2 weeks, didn't have nothing done. So he called Thibodeau back. He said, man, look, you got to come over and help me. I'm done in trouble on this one. Thibodeau gets over there. He said, you still got some of that coffee and chicory? He said, yeah, I do. He said, get you a cup of it. Drink you a cup of that. And then once you done that, I want you to take all them flakes and put it back in that box with that tiger on the front. He doesn't find that Tony the Tiger and thought he had him one of them puzzles on there. Oh, man. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the Revelation. The Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and the mark of the beast. Revelation. The Revelation chapter 13. And we'll begin at verse number 1. The New World Order, headed by two men, the beast of the sea, the Antichrist, and the beast of the earth, the false prophet, will control commerce and religion during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And that is the period that is spoken of in Revelation chapter 13. The rule of the Antichrist is seen in three major areas. It is seen in the area of politics, religion, and in economics or commerce. And it is interesting to me to note that he will actually rule over the revived Roman Empire. He will do that. And I believe, along with Robert Payne, that the old Roman Empire has not died, that it never truly died, that it has always been around since the days of the Romans. And I want to read what Paine said about this. He said, the Roman Empire perished and went on living. Long after the capital had become a small town outside the frontiers of the Byzantine Empire, and long after the last Roman legionary marched down the Flamian Way, its civilization held sway on the west. The legacy of this most worldly of empires was to lie largely in the realm of ideas. In law, language, literature, government, attitudes, and styles, and innumerable ways as century followed century. Men's minds were to respond to a presence that was shorn of all the panoply of power while gradually becoming transfigured into a dominion of the spirit and of the thought. And we're still battling with the Roman thought pattern. And in our study this morning, we're dealing with the political rise of the Antichrist. In verse 1, we read of the beast of the sea. The first 10 verses deal with this beast of the sea. And the Bible says, "And I stood," of course this is John the Revelator, under inspiration of God, "and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a great beast rise up out of the sea." Now I believe he actually was there on the Isle of Patmos, of course, and that he stood on the sand of the sea and God gave him this vision of this beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, the word beast here is the Greek word therion, which means a wild beast. This is one who is willing to devour without any thought of anybody's good. It's all about him. He is a narcissist. He looks to what he thinks. He just thinks nobody else gets what he's trying to put over. So he goes about making 400 speeches. He keeps himself on the television. And those that don't agree just don't understand. And this is descriptive of the demonic, vengeful, hateful, brutal, and savage reign of the beast of the Revelation. You have to realize we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of darkness. And some of those are in high places, it says. Now, the first beast, this beast of the sea, the Antichrist, will rise up out of the sea. And the sea here is descriptive of the unsettled world in which we live. You go to Isaiah and chapter 57 and verse number 20. Isaiah 57 and verse number 20, the scripture says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." And we are not the moral majority. The wicked are stirring up dirt. They're like the sea. Jerry and Shirley have made numerous trips to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And there are others who have been over to Florida, the Panhandle, and over around Destin. And there's one big difference between the water in Mississippi in the Gulf of Mexico and the water in Florida at the Gulf of Mexico. The water along the Mississippi Gulf Coast is never clear. It is never clean. It's always mired. It's always dirty. And over in Florida, it's always clean. What's the difference? Well, there are several differences. One thing is the Mississippi River, with all of its silt and dirt, and that is emptied into the Gulf not far from Biloxi. And the Mobile River and the Pascagoula River and the shrimp boats, all of those things contribute to it being stirred up. I believe we see a stirring up today, and it's the wicked stirring up the world in which we live. Bourne says that this beast comes up out of the sea, out of the commotion, out of the agitation of nations, a new power that springs up from those disturbed elements. Now, I also believe it comes out of the Mediterranean area. It's going to be trouble from that area. Everything centers around Jerusalem. Israel's on the news, if not every day, every other day, certainly every week. Amen. And so I believe this is part of what we're looking at here. And this first beast will come up out of and will emerge from the collapse of governmental authority around the world. and the collapse of the financial markets. The market's still having a hard time in this country right now. It's up and down, up and down, and people are looking for an answer. I personally believe that this beast is not a computer, it is not a machine. This beast is an actual person, because in the Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 20, and also in chapter 20 and verse number 10, the beast is cast into the lake of fire. And I don't think that the Lord's going to throw a computer down in there to burn up. And this beast won't burn up. He'll be locked down. Amen. You've heard about lockdown? He's going to be locked in, that's for sure. This beast will be revealed after the catching away of the saints. I know there's a lot of different things going on theologically today, but I'm still pre-trib, pre-mill, because that's how I started and I didn't even know it. We just read the obituary of C.H. Popstone Jr. The second place I preached was the Bell Fountain Baptist Church, Bell Fountain, Mississippi, along the Gulf Coast. And C.H. had to be out of town. This is about 1971. I was a child of a preacher. And he called and asked me to go over there and preach. He had to be out of town. Well, I'd only preached one sermon. But I was ready to go. So I went over there and preached. And one dear lady, as she was going out the door, she said, "That was a wonderful premillennial sermon." I'd never heard the term. I said, "What do you mean?" Well, she said, "Christ will come, and saints will be taken away, and the wrath of God poured upon the earth." And I said, "Well, that's what the Bible says." Amen?
Amen.
And that's before I read Ray Summers' book on Behold the Lamb, explaining amillennialism, and all these other things. The main book, Troy, is this book, Philip. The Bible. And also coming out of that building that day, one lady said, "That's one of the best sermons I've ever heard in my life." And boy, my head got big. Second sermon. And another man came out, an old man, and he said, "Son, you need to really work hard and practice." That's about as sorry a sermon as I've ever heard. So, I got blown up, bled out the same day. Oh, my. But after the saints of God are taken away, the beast, the prince that shall come, is going to rise up. The prince that shall come. Daniel chapter 7. The book of Daniel, chapter 7 has a lot to say about this, but let's go to chapter 9 to, I think, get a clear picture of what I'm looking at. Chapter 9, verse number 26. It says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." Who is Messiah? The Lord Christ. I love what it says here. But not for himself. He has no sin. He dies for our sins. He's buried. He is resurrected for us. "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week," a week of years. "He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease." Last year I got to go to the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. And I went in there, and they have all of the instruments ready for the new temple. They have the priest garments. You talk about beautiful. With all of the stones that are placed upon the ephod. And the golden candlestick. And the laver. Listen, as soon as they can, after we're taken out, sacrifice will begin again. And for about 3.5 years, they're going to sacrifice in Jerusalem. But in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, that's the abomination of desolation. It's coming. Now we notice in verse 1 that this beast has 7 heads. And this represents 7 Gentile nations that have or will rule over Israel. They either have or they will. Notice with me Revelation 17, if you would, and verse number 10. The book of the Revelation, chapter 17. And verse number 10. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is yet to come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So here are Gentile nations that have or will rule over the world. We'll get into the shortness of that in other messages. The 10 horns represent the 10 kings or rulers of the end time united together in a league. In a league together. I believe a world league. A renewal of the Roman Empire. Known today as the European Common Market, the EU. Who would have thought that all of these countries would get together? Who would have thought? Or as I heard someone say, who would have thunk it? I mean, who would have thought this? But here it is, Revelation 17 and verse 12. The Scripture says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. I mean, that's going to be a short deal. Relatively. Very short. There are 10 crowns. That speaks of their power and their strength, which is Revelation 12:13. Which speaks of that. The dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth. He persecuted the woman, whatever. 13 in verse number, 17 and 13. We're going to get into that about the woman as we study. 17:13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast, and they are going to speak blasphemy. They're against that which is godly. They're against that which is good. They're against that which is of the Lord. They will be pro-abortion. They will be anti-God. They will be socialistic. They'll be against prayer, period, school or not, and they will have no recognition of God. They'll blaspheme God. I told our people recently in a message that we'll always have prayer in school no matter what the government does. As long as teachers give tests and students have to take them, there will be prayer in school. Revelation 13 and verse number 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. Who's the dragon? That's old Slewfoot. That's the devil, Lucifer, and his seat and great authority. He seats him. He allows this, gives him this. And God allows it. Now, the first beast, the Antichrist, is pictured as a leopard, a bear, and a lion. Interesting. He's pictured as a leopard, a bear, and a lion. But when you go to Daniel chapter 7, and verses 4 through 6, he is pictured as a lion, a bear, and a leopard. Reversed. Why? Because Daniel was looking forward to the cross, and John the Revelator looks back to the cross. They see the same thing. They see it from the different perspective. The leopard speaks of cat-like vigilance. The bear speaks of crushing power. The lion speaks of strength and a roar. This beast will have the characteristics of kingdoms before him in his opposition to God. He is given this power. He's allowed this power. Christ was offered this kind of worldwide power by the devil on the mountain, and he refused it, but the beast will receive it and take it. Verse number 3, Revelation 13. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. This speaks of the devil's power allowed by God to resurrect the slain beast. Now, the Greek construction here indicates slain to death. That's what the construction allows. Now, this wound is probably physical, but some say it could be political. You can have somebody who rises up and, man, then the polls go all the way to the bottom, and then all of a sudden they're resurrected politically. Can that happen? Look at Bill Clinton. Healthcare killed his first term. Everybody thought he's out. And what happened? People were dumb enough to elect him again. I hope you didn't vote for him. This is not going out on MP3 or anything. So, oh yeah, that's what I thought. I thought so. So, this beast is brought back, if not from death itself, from the brink of death. And we've already talked about that last night, that men are dead, but people are paddled and brought back. That's how you bring some kids back into line, is paddles. Or he could have died politically and brought back. Verse number 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. One of the big things that's problem down in Haiti right now is the problem with voodoo. Voodoo. And I know they got mad at Pat Robertson for saying that the Haitians had given over to voodoo, but that's documented. They did that. Whenever the war with France, whenever they overthrew the French, they said, devil, if you'll help us, we'll serve you. And you got one eye, Yola. You've got the Dominican Republic, which is prospering and doing well. Then you've got a line in the sand, and you've got Haiti. And ever since that time, they've never done anything. I have a very close Catholic friend. Matter of fact, he called me yesterday on the way here. He's a doctor, a good friend. And he said that what they have in Haiti is of the devil. He said even if they put it under the guise of the Catholic Church or any other church, it's of the devil. They just use symbolisms and they'll use what they want out of religion. Amen? So that's the kind of power that the Antichrist has. He'll be a world leader because people are looking for a world leader who will give them social programs and help them financially. We've got enough social problems. But they're looking for somebody that'll let them sit on the porch and not have to work. I don't know if y'all have that up here, but we got it at home. As long as they can draw a check and sit on the porch. But they call it the poach. It used to aggravate the fire out of me. We pastored Central Baptist Church for some years, and Spain's Grocery right across. I still shop there sometime, and I love their meat and things. They're a good store. But this woman would get in front of me, a big lady, and she'd have a basket in the front and a basket in the back. It'd be drawing them things full up with meat like that. And I'd have my pack of bologna and some cold cuts and some Vienna sausage and crackers. And she'd check all that out and pay for it with them stamps. Now they got that card, that's why. And I messed up one time. I said, do you appreciate what I've done for you? She said, you ain't done nothing for me. I said, I just bought you groceries. I said, my taxes bought your groceries. Look what I got in my buggy. Because I can't afford anything because I didn't bought yours. She turned her head and didn't speak to me. But some people are able to do and don't. And they're looking for this socialism. They are. They're looking for the programs. Herbert Lockyer said that the lack of ability on the part of the present day rulers to govern adequately is preparing the way for this satanically inspired dictator. We don't have anybody that can rule, that knows how. And it says here in Revelation 13:4, and they worshiped the dragon that gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Not who is like unto Almighty God, but who's like unto the beast. We're going to follow him. Because there's nobody like him. And men are deceived. But I want to tell you something. There's always a remnant. Somebody says the whole world will come under this rule. Not everybody. There are going to be some holdouts. There are going to be two witnesses in the streets. And there are going to be people who are hiding here and yon, making coffee out of acorns. You can do that. My great-great-grandfather did it during the war between the states. They couldn't get coffee. And they would take acorns and break them and boil them and make coffee that way, to have a hot drink that looked brown. I think it was psychological. But they drank it. But there'll be holdouts. There will be. Verse number 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and powers were given unto him to continue 42 months, which is 3.5 years. He has miraculous power. He will attract people of every class. You see that with some of the shysters and charlatans of today. If you can speak words that are flattering and stay away from doctrinal issues and all of that, you can draw the crowd. It happens. And I believe you can draw the crowd with the truth. On the way here, a young man called me named Blake. Went down to visit his wife, who was in a terrible wreck, and he's been calling me. He grew up at Elliott, but he's been gone for 20 years. Been going to an interdenominational church. And he called me yesterday, called on our way here. And he said, what time's church Sunday? I said, 10:45 for preaching, 9:45 for Sunday school, but 10:45. He said, I'm going to be there. He said, it may not be this coming Sunday, be the next. If not, I'm coming. He said, I'm going to this denominational church. I'm not getting anything. He said, I've got to have something. I got to have something. And we're seeing more of that. Where folks want something. I mean, they're looking for something. And what they need is the truth. But this fellow's going to speak blasphemies. Power was given unto him. He continues that time. Look at verse number 6.
he opens his mouth, if he blasphemes against God, he blasphemes the name of God, blasphemes the tabernacle of God, and he blasphemes those who dwell in heaven. He's going to do that. He'll curse those in heaven. He will blaspheme the worship of God. Let me tell you something. There will come a day when in God we trust, and one nation under God will be removed. Because we're losing our sovereignty, and we will lose our sovereignty, and when we do, all these things will be gone. And we're losing it quickly. And I could go into lots of things. I'm not going to do that. The saints in heaven rejoiced when Satan was expelled in chapter 12, verse 10. And now he influences this fellow to blaspheme God. He does. Hatred of God will be universally proclaimed. Hollywood is doing it now. And will continue to do that. Verse number 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. He will have influence over all the world. It's going to happen. Those who trust in God, who trust in Christ as Savior, will be safe from these things. Satan's rage over his defeat in heaven will be poured out upon the saints of the earth. You read about that in chapter 20, verse number 4. We'll not go to all of the references this morning. The unlimited range of the authority of the Antichrist is shown in the words kindred, tongues, and nations. He's going to have universal power, but not over every person. But though physically defeated, the children of God are overcomers by the blood. Chapter 12, verse 11, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. Verse number 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. All right? You say it says all. Well, last Sunday, everybody went to church. Well, we know that's not a good illustration. But not everybody did. I'll tell you what, everybody went to the cardinal. Everybody was there. No, everybody wasn't. All went down to John to be baptized. Did everybody go to like John baptized? No. But there were many, many people. Many, many people. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus died for our sins. But let me tell you something. The foreknowledge of God, and I'm not going to get into lapsarianism, sub, whatever. I like a sub once in a while, but I don't want to get into this sub business. But he is the Lamb slain. Before ever a person was born, before there was ever a man on earth, Christ was slain. Not literally, but in the mind of God. That was taken care of. And Jesus Christ is the only hope. The widely proclaimed humanism of today is simply self-worship, one step away from devil worship. Verse number 9 of the Revelation, chapter 13, if any man have an ear, let him hear. That's plain and simple. If you've got sense, if you can hear, if you can read this, if you can hear this, then you need to listen. You need to listen. Verse 10. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. The beast, he will lead the saints of God into captivity during the tribulation. But he will be led into eternal captivity in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. And all who cause God's children to suffer must face the sword of God. The patience of the saints is what? It is their trust in God's Word that vengeance and punishments are in the hand of God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Verse 11. And here we find in these verses ahead of us the beast of the earth and the false prophet. The beast of the earth, the false prophet. And behold, another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. He is a charlatan. He has two horns like a lamb. I'm a good guy. I mean, I've got your best interests at heart. I mean, I'm a good man. I'm religious. But he will speak like a madman when he needs to. He spake as a dragon, horns. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. There are a lot of those out there today. He will force the people of earth to worship the false prophet or the beast, the Antichrist. He delights in getting people to forget God and worship evil. He exercises power. Verse 12, and he exercises all power on the first beast before him and causes the earth to and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed, that resurrection, any way you look at it. Verse 13 says, and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. We call that lying wonders. Atmospheric spirits. Prince and power of the air is what we see here. Publicly, he produces fire. Not from the heaven of heavens, but in the heavens. And he deceives men as a miracle worker, a sensationalist, an entertainer. And that's what folks want today. I mean, they want an entertainer. They want somebody to entertain them. And Thessalonians talks about that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 14. And he is a deceiver. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Let's make him a monument. And I want you to worship him. That's what we want. And I believe they'll have little replicas of that thing. And they'll sell replicas of it. They might even give them out. I don't know. When I grew up on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, nearby everybody had a St. Christopher on the dashboard of the car. Now, he's made out of plastic. And you get in a wreck and he breaks off. But there he is. And he's protecting you. It reminds you that St. Christopher is there. And so there'll be this image of the beast of the sea. And the second beast will say, everybody get one. You're going to build a big one, but you need to be reminded of this. You need to have this. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they do? They got thrown in the fiery furnace. Because they would not worship the image. And what's going to happen? There'll be those whose heads will be severed from their shoulders because they will not worship the beast. Trajan consigned to punishment Christians who would not worship the emperor's image with wine and incense. They refused. And what is the reason for these miracles? To prepare the people. Get them ready. Now, verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, they've got this amutronic equipment today. I don't know if I said that word right. Amutronic or something. It's some kind of tronic, and I need a tonic. But they're going to use something. They'll bring this thing to life. It'll have eyes, you know. They'll shine. It'll look real. You're going to bring it to life. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, some people believe that's where the computer comes in. But this is the image. They're going to have to worship this image. Again, I don't think they're going to be worshiping computers. Although a lot of us sit there a lot. Oh, computer. Why are you broke down? Why have you crashed? But they're going to worship, you see. This is all coming. And it's coming in line even now. Don't you see it? It is. Verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. They get this mark. Now, personally, you know, years ago I thought, man, they get this thing here and they'll look like they got this convict number stamped on their head or whatever. I don't either. I really don't. I wanted to check something before I preached what I'm getting ready to say to you right now. So I called a banker friend of mine who has done a lot of study on this. He's our president of our bank in Grenada. And I asked this particular item that they've got. They use it on racehorses. It's called a radio frequency ID detector. And it is the size of a piece of rice. See, some of y'all already know all this stuff. And they can put it under your skin, put it in your forehead, wherever they need to put it. And your whole history can be put on that thing. And they can track you all over the world. Doesn't matter where you go, you're tracked. But I believe, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, there will be those who will not receive the mark. They won't take it. They're not going to do it. But everything's got to get right for this to happen. There will be those out there making acorn coffee. And some of them call it acorn hot tea. They will. Now, verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of the beast. You know something? I meant to get some before I left town, but I didn't. I do not have $1 bill in my wallet. None. No. I have none. I've got tickets to a sweetheart banquet at church, but I don't have any money. You know why? I don't need any. Because that's a debit card. It's not a credit card. It's a debit card. I do not have to have cash. We stopped at Wendy's, swiped the card. Stopped at Scott City and bought gas that was way too high, but we were near empty. And swipe the card. You're not going to have cash. It'll be a cashless society, and all they have to do is scan your hand. Amen? And no man can buy or sell unless you've got it. I'm glad I'm saved. Like they say, I'm out of here. I'm going. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm ready to go. I believe the UN forces, Interpol, they're the ones going to be out looking for it. You know, one of the plans of our leadership today is to get a U.S. police force. On the Panola Hospital, right along Interstate 55. There's a gigantic banner hanging on that hospital at Batesville, Mississippi. It's a giant banner. You can see it from the interstate. You know what it says? Thank you, Massachusetts! Boy, that helped me, Brother Wayne. It did. I got hope again. Because if that liberal state could say no to some of this, man, we can hold out and maybe the South will secede. Verse 18. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66. What is this number? Well, man was created on the what day? Sixth day. Man's appointed days of toil are 6 days. The Hebrew slave was to serve 6 years, be released on the seventh. And I believe 666 will mean that men, women, boys, and girls who receive that mark are doomed forever and ever. They take that mark and they're gone. They're done. I could speculate about computers, and I worked for the First National Bank of Louisville, Kentucky when I was in Bible college, and the big Federal Reserve Bank was on a 666 system. I know that. I've seen it. But I know this, that every man, every boy, every woman, every girl who is lost and dies without Christ will go to hell. And it's possible that the beast and Antichrist are alive today. Does that scare you? Uh-uh. Because I'm leaving. I don't know how bad it'll get. It may get as bad as it did in communist China. Before the Chinese took over, there were a lot of Christians there. A great missionary named Bertha Smith. If you want to research a great missionary, Bertha Smith, she was a sweet lady. She didn't preach. She taught a lot of young kids and helped and taught and did different things, but had a great impact. But she was there when the communists came. And we ought not be doing with China what we're doing, because they're going to eat us up one day. And that's part of this downfall. It'll all come together. There is only one hope. My hope is in the Lord. Amen.